Today's podcast is brought to you by our awesome patrons at patreon.com and by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Over 180,000 titles to choose from in all your favorite genres. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today.
You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right. Ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. This is episode 47. And we have a house full today. In the studio with me, as always, my wife, Becca.
Hello, hello.
We have Michael Kaplan back in the studio.
Hello.
And Russell, who is one of our patrons. And I'm not suggesting that if you become a patron that we'll invite you to the studio, but it helps.
Hello.
Welcome, Russell. So today we are going to try to run a tight ship here and keep to pretty close to an hour if we can. So, we're going to start right off with some religion news. This is from Talk Business and Politics at talkbusiness.net. The House passes a resolution recognizing the Christian Bible as the official Arkansas book. Who's surprised?
No, not surprised. Mortified? Yes. Surprised?
Not I mean, at all. Does Florida have an official state book? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but give me a couple of minutes with the Google and we'll see what happens.
The Arkansas House of Representatives recently passed H.R. 1047, recognizing the Christian Bible in any recognized form, so no specific one, as the official state book. It passed without a single opposition vote, which should tell you all the things you need to know about shithole Arkansas. And this is from Representative Dwight Tosh, Republican from Jonesboro. The resolution isn't legally binding and was not jointly filed in the state Senate, meaning officials there won't be able to vote on it until the next legislative session. So really, it means nothing. It means the House passed it, and then it goes to the Senate, but not really because it doesn't go this session. And it may not. I would say a vast majority of people in the state believe the Bible is the book of truth, Tosh said. I was very happy the resolution passed without an opposition vote. I'll bet nearly every home in Arkansas has a Bible in it. Let me read that again. I'll bet nearly every home in Arkansas has a Bible in it. I'm not suggesting that that's a good thing, but. What do you got? State books? Anybody? No?
I'm doing something else at the moment. I said a few minutes. That was a few seconds. I think our patron in the corner over here is looking it up. Wait,
say that again.
No state book for Florida.
All right. So, and that's some stupid stuff too, anyway, isn't it? Like, why do we have a state bird and a state worm and a state rat? And, like, what's the point?
People just like to do things.
What?
We have a state flower.
Yeah. What was right. Our state flower is a palm tree.
No, it's not.
No, it's the.
Oh, that's the state tree.
It's a blossom of what? Orange blossom.
It's an orange blossom.
Yeah. Orange blossom. I learned that in elementary school.
I didn't go to elementary school in Florida, so
well,
I wouldn't know.
Well, you lost out, because let me tell you something. It was an amazing experience.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. I'm just kidding. It was sarcasm.
I think I heard stories to the opposite of that. Tosh had considered a bill to make the Bible the legal state book, but he said there were too many legal hurdles. No fucking shit. You think? here's an idea. There's a thing called the separation of church and state. The majority of Arkansans are
Arkansinians?
No, that's not how it's written. Arkansans.
Oh gosh.
Ewens are of the Christian faith, but he also recognized that there are many in the state that don't share that faith or any other, and it might offend them, he said. Yet he filed it anyway. Since he introduced the resolution, the representative has received a slew of calls, no kidding, from constituents and others, he said. In his own district, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. The criticism he's received has come from people in other parts of the state and country. He's even had calls from as far away as New York. New York City!
Oh, why would they take anything that New York would say seriously?
Right. Most of the negativity has been respectful. Just an honest disagreement, he said. The support I've received has been tremendous. It's been amazing to me.
Amazing Grace.
Apparently, Tennessee tried to do this last year, and the governor vetoed it, saying that a sacred text doesn't need to be trivialized by this designation. Wow. That would make it less than, to make it the state book.
Well, the state church separation of church and state comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So why would...
Yeah. You can smack him. That's all right.
I have a problem with that.
Mm. Yeah, very much so.
Makes no sense.
From the Friendly Atheist over at the Patheos blogs, Texas lawmakers think doctors should be... Let's be honest, Texas lawmakers are fucking stupid right now.
Yeah.
We've been watching all of this nonsense going on with Senate Bill 6. And I'm still hoping to put together a patron-only show of the testimony that the Senate committee heard. But it's like 18 hours long. So I got to find the time to cut in and edit out the pieces that we want to talk about.
The short version.
And for every 5 minutes of... listening to that, you lose 3 minutes of your life,
of your soul, right?
Your soul.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you would do this at great sacrifice to your personal mental well-being.
Exactly. But God, you need to hear it because there was some vile, hateful, bigoty shit that came out of the people. And and again, so the first 3 hours of testimony was invited guests. So The senators on the state affairs committee selected people that they wanted to come and speak either for or against. And then the next 18 hours of testimony. So then they, each one of those got 5 minutes to speak. Then the next 18 hours worth is just open forum. Public comes in, they get 2 minutes to talk. And there was some vile, hateful stuff that came out of that. So I think it's important to draw a big circle around that and call it out for what it is. Now, the good news, if there is any, in that particular case, is that that's in the Senate. In the House, the Speaker of the House, who also Republican, I believe, really doesn't have any interest in making this the sword to fall on. So, I mean, they have to take it up in the House, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes because of that. Because if he's just not, that's just not something we really want to get into, then the House may kill it and that may be the end of it. Well, I don't know.
Then there's hope.
Anyway, and then there's this. Texas lawmakers think doctors should be able to lie to women if the truth might lead to an abortion. So, you go to the doctor's office. Congratulations, you're pregnant. You go back to the doctor's office. The doctor finds something in an ultrasound that might be concerning, that might be a life-threatening or a lifelong disability. Right now, if the doctor does not disclose that information to you, you can sue them. If you can prove that they knew and did not tell you, you can sue them. Texas wants to advance a bill that would say that if they have this personal, deeply held religious belief about abortion being bad, they can just withhold that from you.
That's not fair.
Because telling you might cause you to choose an abortion.
I have a lot of problems with this.
Yeah.
For the obvious reason that how dare you not warn me about potential problems that my child might have.
Yeah.
Assuming that I'm the type of person that would get that would say, you know what, I don't care. I've been trying to have a baby. I want to have a baby. And if this baby has problems, I'm going to love it just the same, whatever.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people who really want children that would want a child so badly that that wouldn't matter to them.
Yes.
And now you're assuming what my character is and you're not going to tell me. And then it's going to be this huge shock and something that's supposed to be super happy now has a very sad undertone when the child is born and has something that could alter, you know, like it would be better to be prepared for that. If you want to keep that child, if you don't want to keep that child, that's up to you, not up to somebody else's conscience, because you're the one who's going to have to deal with the consequences of not knowing.
Right. Just a little bit from the blog here. Lawmakers in Texas advanced Senate Bill 25, a bill that would allow doctors to not tell pregnant patients if something is wrong with their unborn child. Why? Because it's possible that if you know that there are fetal abnormalities ranging from severe disabilities to the possibility that the child could be stillborn or born with its brain outside of its head or something like that, then you might consider the perfectly legal procedure known as an abortion. As it stands, doctors internationally withhold that kind of information from you. You can sue them. It's just insane. I mean, again, it's Texas. I'm not surprised.
I mean, what if you don't have the, oh my gosh, medical expenses alone, especially with all of the healthcare nonsense that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, it's expensive. Now it's going to get that much worse.
Yeah.
If you don't pay for it.
Yeah. How are you going to pay for it?
Well, so this is the dichotomy, right? You have, typically this comes out of the Republican side of the aisle. And they're pushing this bill. This talks about, you know, they care about the rights of the disabled. But apparently, you know, you don't care enough about funding Medicare or Medicaid or
any
fucking Meals on Wheels now. And like all of these social programs that take care of the people you claim to be about.
Right.
You know, you can't put your Christian hat on and say, you know, Jesus loves all the people and I want to take care of the needy and help the poor and then not do it. And then that's what drives me nuts about the right voting block, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they say all the time, well, this is what we care about. This is what we mean. This is what we want. This is who we love. And then immediately go to the poll and vote against all of the things they claim to be for. It just frustrates the hell out of me. But this woman, women's rights stuff, right? Like, this is none of your damn business. Again, this is the old white guys up in the state house making decisions about what women do with their bodies again.
Well, and, you know, this is, I mean, I think it goes beyond that as well. Because I think about the dads who now, because they have this kid that has this condition, most of the time it's the dad who has to go out and find more work and to take care of these kids that have disabilities because they don't have the money. So now you've got a dad who's got to have work three jobs and never be a part of their kid's life.
Yeah.
And then you've got this poor mom who that's, and mothers do this. They pour themselves into their children and they lose themselves. And so even if you're prepared to do that with a healthy child, it's like 20 times worse when your child has a condition that it's not just taxing on the child's abilities. It's taxing on the mother's well-being.
Yeah, well, it's not like she can even like go get a job herself.
Right.
Who wants to take, I mean, it's so hard to take care of a child who.
Well, and to pay for that kind of care, you had to, you couldn't.
I worked with somebody at Disney who her son was wheelchair bound and had a stent and like there were brain issues that they had to make sure that there was like, you know, water that would get into all of that kind of stuff. And she had to work. Like both of the parents had to work. And so she takes him to this, you know, the care facility because the kid's like a teenager now.
Right.
But she, you know, and they would call DCFS on her to say that she was abusing them. And it was just this whole big long thing.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, and I know that we're very lucky. We've had two beautiful, healthy children.
Yep.
But they've both been hospitalized for minor illnesses. And I couldn't even leave. Like, it was hard for me to leave them in the hospital room alone just to go down to the cafeteria to get something to eat.
Yep.
I couldn't imagine leaving a helpless child with a debilitating health issue in care so that I could go work to pay for everything that child needs. So I don't know how these parents do it.
So the other point is, imagine you're talking about the well-being of the mother. Imagine if the condition that they've noticed could possibly result in a stillborn child, and they don't tell you that, and you haven't had the chance to in any kind of way even try to mentally prepare for that possibility, and then it happens.
Or there's situations where it can kill the mother.
And what about the ethics here?
Hmm.
How is this ethical at all for them to even suggest this?
Yeah.
Do they have no personal ethics? I mean, come on.
No, apparently not.
Not there. What's this? Texas?
Yeah, Texas. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
We discovered.
But their personal ethics come from the Bible. Texas, get your shit together.
I think they need to just build the wall around Texas. On the north border.
There's a wall I'll pay for.
The north border of Texas.
Oh, God.
Can you get funding for that?
Let's start a GoFundMe for the wall between Texas and the rest of America.
I got into an argument with somebody on Facebook yesterday about that because it was, and we're not even into the Trump papers yet, but they were talking about, I posted something about the Meals on Wheels thing, and they were like, oh, you're making this to be something that it's not. It's 3%. Each state has to cut 3%, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, where did that 3% come from? I saw that.
I never saw the number. And it doesn't matter because this guy said in the very first sentence, he says, well, that's just what the liberal media wants you to know.
So you immediately.
And so I pulled out my bingo card and, oh, you're fired. So I pulled
bingo.
I pulled out my bingo card. No, I didn't have a bingo yet. But all I needed was a libtard and a snowflake, and I would have fucking won, but I didn't get that from him. He actually ended up making a civil conversation out of it.
He did.
What was I trying to say? Here's the thing. Of all the things that they're trying to pay for right now, the stupid border wall, right? Top of the list. Mm-hmm. I would gladly take that money and give it to a needy family.
Sure. Or veterans
program.
Yeah. Any of that.
If you thought Texas was bad, this is from the BBC, a Nicaraguan woman burnt on a fire in an exorcism ritual.
Exorcism.
Yeah.
In Nicaragua?
In Nicaragua.
Okay.
A young woman in an isolated part of Nicaragua has died a week after being tied up and allegedly thrown on a fire in an exorcism ritual.
What the fuck?
Family members told local media that Vilma Trujillo had been attacked by four people led by a man who said he was an evangelical pastor. So everybody that always tries to poke back and say, why do you attack religion all the time? It's not hurting anybody. Bullshit.
So when the evangelicals say that they believe that if you don't follow their way, you're going to burn in fiery hell, they mean the one that they create for you, not the one that their God has put aside.
That's very possible.
That's interesting.
Juan Roca denied burning Mrs. Trujillo, saying evil spirits had suspended her above the fire and then dropped her. Relatives found her 25 years old, found her hours later with severe burns.
Oh my God. And then she passed away, right?
The police have arrested Mr. Roca and a number of other people allegedly involved in the attack. Oh my God. I didn't read the whole article yet. Oh, I hadn't highlighted the stuff I wanted to say.
That's always nice when you get surprised.
That's dangerous. Yeah. The victim's husband, Reynaldo, said the mother of two was taken inside a church last week when members thought she was possessed after allegedly trying to attack people with a machete.
Whoa.
The AP reports. It's unforgivable what they did to us. He was quoted as saying, they killed my wife, the mother of my two little ones. Now, what am I going to tell them?
Wow.
You're going to tell them that this religion stuff is garbage and it killed your mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you tell them. There are no demons. There's no magical spirit that lifted your mommy above the fire these were evil people
so
doing evil things.
She went after people with a machete?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like maybe she had some kind of mental breakdown or something.
Sure. Right.
Vendetta. Probably caused by the guilt that the religion puts in your brain.
That's, right? Oh. But there, out of that comes a whole nother conversation about mental health.
Absolutely.
And how we address mental health issues.
Well, in religion in general, their answer is just pray to Sky Daddy and he'll give you the strength.
Right.
But that's not the answer. You need to get professional help and you know... Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
So I'm going to take a moment here to talk about a thing that NPR started doing to try to raise awareness for podcasting. You know, podcasting is a very niche thing. Like most people, probably before you guys, maybe some of you, before you got turned on to this thing, because we're friends and we all know each other. May not have had any idea of what a podcast was or how to do it, how to listen to it, what they are. There is some debate within the podcasting community about, podcasting to me is audio. That, like, there's YouTubers and they do video things and then podcasters do audio things. But apparently the definition of podcasting is that opposite of broadcasting, right? So broadcasting is you put it out there and anyone can listen while it's happening. Podcasting is a recorded piece that you can download at any time and listen on the go, right? So technically, I guess YouTube videos podcasting.
You're going to admit it? That YouTubers can be podcasters? Yeah. And you're recording it?
I guess.
For posterity?
Wow.
This is a historical
event.
This is
a moment. So anyway, the point is, people who listen to podcasts listen to podcasts. People who don't even know what a podcast is need to be listening to our podcast.
Period, the end.
So the challenge is, you know, we have to teach people how to do this thing. And I can't tell you how many people, like, even at work, people that I've been talking to about it. But, you know, hey, I do this thing. And they're like, what's that? Give me your phone and let me show you. You have a podcast app right there, right? Mm-hmm. Let me show you how to open the app and you go to this thing. And this is what you type in to find our show. And then you subscribe and then you get a notification every time, right? So you have to walk them through those steps, because sure. A lot of people just don't have a clue.
I got to tell you, we do this every week and I still have trouble with finding other podcasts because I just, it's a very niche thing.
Yeah. So all of like February and March or March and April, we're talking about podcasting and asking you to tell a friend about a podcast that you like, that you'll think they'll enjoy. Right now, think of a friend, your mom, your dad, not your mom. Your dad, your brother, anyone you care about, what podcast would they really love? Got it? Now do it. Tell them about it in real life or on social media. And if they don't know about podcasts, show them how to do it. Get their device out. Show them how to look it up. And tell us what you recommend. Use the hashtag tripod, TRYPOD, hashtag TRYPOD. And use that to share podcasts that you enjoy. And that will help. You can search that hashtag to find other shows. So do that. Thanks for spreading the word. Next. Oklahoma lawmaker.
Oklahoma.
Arrested on. Do you have something important you need?
No, I could hear you, but I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. this comes from the Washington Post. An Oklahoma lawmaker was arrested on child prostitution charges. So
I wasn't laughing at that.
No,
I was
laughing at Michael. You're laughing
at
Michael.
Sorry. Child prostitution.
Yeah. Definitely. Oklahoma state senator was booked Thursday on child prostitution charges for allegedly hiring a 17-year-old boy for sex, leading to calls for his resignation and a separate internal investigation into his years of work with the youth program.
Hey.
Ralph Shorty, a 35-year-old conservative Republican.
Of course he is.
Who has a wife and three young daughters.
Of course he does.
Surrendered to authorities on charges of engaging in child prostitution, transporting a minor for prostitution, and engaging in prostitution within 1,000 feet of a church.
Oh, nice.
He was released after about 2 hours on a $100,000 bond.
Wait a minute. So, okay. It's worse because it was near a church?
Yes.
How is that even a thing? It should be like the worst thing ever.
It's a law.
No matter where it is. Oh, my gosh.
I could understand if it was worse because it was in front of a school or near a school.
Oh, right?
But a church, come on.
Yes. So,
absolutely.
But I picked this story out because there is an interesting correlation that we see often that nobody likes to talk about, where, you know, all of these Republican lawmakers, and I may have to look while somebody vamps to see if it talks about it in this article, but, you know, these are the people, generally speaking, who are first lined up in places like North Carolina and Texas to say, we need to protect our women and children in the bathrooms from the predators. So the trans people can't go to bathrooms anymore, right? Because we need to protect our women and children, our women and young girls is what they'll say. Well, here's a guy who has a wife and three young daughters, right?
Diddling the little boys.
So again, pass all the stupid laws you want, but none of them address the fact that dirty old men also prey on boys.
Well,
so who's protecting those little boys?
Exactly.
In the restrooms or the fucking churches for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that would require that the Republicans would acknowledge that there is a thing out there called homosexuality. They would have to acknowledge that it exists.
Insane.
Yep. The allegations led to Shorty's removal from his volunteer position with the Oklahoma City YMCA's Youth and Government Program, which he has been active for 17 years, and served as a chaperone on several out-of-state trips.
Lovely.
How many other things has he gotten himself
into? Who knows?
Right? Out-of-state? That means he's staying in a hotel as a chaperone with a bunch of young kids.
Yep.
And you know how they... Oh, my goodness.
Acting on a tip from the teen's father. Police went to the Super 8 Hotel... It's a motel, right? Super 8's a motel.
Super 8's a motel, yeah.
Way to go, Washington Post. Police went to the Super 8 motel in the Oklahoma City suburb of Moore last week to check on the boy, who was seen going into a room with a man, according to a police report. The officers were told the boy had solicited sex through Craigslist on other occasions and had a history of drug abuse. The officers smelled marijuana smoke coming from the room and found Shorty and the teen alone inside.
Shorty.
Shoddy. A search, this is, get this. A search of the teen's tablet uncovered a series of sexually explicit exchanges in which Shorty referred to the teen as baby boy and offered him cash in exchange for, quote, sexual stuff, according to a police report. Conversation had started with the teen messaging Shorty that he needed money for spring break. Officers also found lotion and an open box of condoms inside backpacks in the room.
So, have they established at all how long this has been going on with this one kid?
The 17-year-old?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Cause,
like, it says there's a history there.
Because, like, I know there's, like, you know, he's 17. And if it hasn't been going on that long, I don't know, once you're 17 and you're...
Well, and each jurisdiction is different, right, on what the age of consent and all of that stuff.
Well, I get that.
Too.
But I'm, like, I mean, as I'm thinking of a 17-year-old boy, if this has been going on and he's been groomed, that's one thing. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is just this, Keith just found this kid randomly and this is a very new thing, there's a little bit of blame there. Like, because he's 17, he's nearly an adult.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
that's what I'm getting at. As far as the other children that are concerned, like if there's other younger, I don't know, just without enough details.
Right. And we, you know, we don't know this kid's story. So there was there's another podcast, hashtag tripod you, that I started listening to a while back called LGBT Stories.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQ Stories. LGBT Stories. Yeah. And one of the basically what they do is they just have people on and tell their story. Like we, ours is very conversational and we mix in news and politics and religion and all of that stuff. Right. But this is very much like the host just says, here's Michael. Michael, tell us, you know, about your life. And so this particular kid who was on the show, I call him kid because I'm old. This particular episode, the guy was talking about how, like, through his teen years, while living in an oppressed house where his parents wouldn't let him be free to be who he was, and that he would, like, sneak out of the house in the middle of the night to meet strangers for sex, and, like, absolutely paid for sex with a man before, and, like, all of this stuff that you know, starting at, like, 13 or 14, that had been going on all of these years, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I come right back to parental acceptance and support, mental health.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But so we don't really know what this kid's backstory is, what he's gone through.
I think it's interesting that his father was the one that tipped him off, though. Mm-hmm. That tells you something that, like, I mean, at least his dad was paying attention to something. That he knew there was something off there.
Right.
So kudos to dad.
So here you go. Oklahoma's age of consent is 16, but the Oklahoma child prostitution statute applies to any person under 18. So had he not paid for it, no big deal. Right.
Yeah, see if it was free.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. The state Senate, remember we're talking about a lawmaker here, the state Senate imposed sanctions Wednesday on Shorty, voting 43-0. For a resolution that accused him of disorderly behavior and stripped him of much of his power and many perks. After his arrest Thursday, Republican Governor Mary Fallon and the chamber's top Republican and Democrat called for Shorty's immediate resignation, saying he couldn't adequately serve his Oklahoma City district given the circumstances.
I'm interested to know what the perks are that they're referring to.
Prostitution.
Do you use your daily, what's the daily allotment called? You get like a daily amount of money. I
Coffee
can't think
points.
Of the word of it.
Allowance?
Frequent flyer card.
Oh, gosh.
So there's that guy.
Wow.
But again, right, it's the Republican lawmaker, you know, doing bad. Everybody wants to throw up the tranny boogeyman it's going to allow perverts to come into the bathroom and do bad things.
It's a distraction play. They want to distract you with this flashy, oh, this could happen while they're over in the other bathroom.
Right. Oh, I've been avoiding this like the plague, but I guess we should talk about Trump. You know what? Before we talk about Trump, let's take a break.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Donald Trump, my favorite Bernie Sanders, back in the news, sort of. Well, still. And a special message from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting about the fate of...
I'm going to cry.
The fate of PBS. We'll be back after this.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think you would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. That's why I listen to podcasts. And this is probably why you listen to podcasts, too. And that's why I use Audible. And I know you're going to love it too. I love to read, but I also have two rowdy kids and a crazy third shift job and putting together material for the show. And that just doesn't leave a lot of free time to read like I used to. Now I can listen to an audiobook in the shower, on the drive to work, and don't tell my boss, sometimes even at work. These are the popular books you've been wanting to read. Titles from the New York Times bestseller list, the Oprah Book Club, authors like John Grisham, J.K. Rowling, Carrie Fisher's The Princess Diarist. Here's one I know you'll want to hear. A gray, totalitarian world dominated by Big Brother, and its vast network of agents, including the Thought Police. A world in which news is manufactured according to the authorities' will, and people live tepid lives by rote. Sound familiar? George Orwell's 1984 has found new meaning in the Trump era, and yes, it's available right now at Audible. Audible has over 180,000 titles in every genre, classics, biographies, science fiction, romance, mysteries, you name it. As a Sarah Talk listener, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. What free book will you choose? Orwell's 1984? The Harry Potter series? Here's my suggestion. Many of you listen to this podcast for our criticism of religion and outspoken atheism. Start with God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by the late Christopher Hitchens. Then send me an email. Let me know what you think. Take advantage of this special promotion, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio with me again today, my wife Becca, Michael Kaplan, and Russell, one of our patrons, and we're going to take a moment to talk about Patreon and patrons. I want to stop and thank all of our patrons, of course. So, Russell, thank you for being a patron for a while now. And Andrea, because I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. I really appreciate the long-term support. We also picked up a new patron. Judy.
Yay, Judy.
Welcome to the Patreon family.
Welcome,
thank
Judy.
Thank you so much. You're getting us closer and closer to having the studio complete here. And then again, like we say a lot, once we get kind of this thing set up, if you look back to the beginning of the show, it was very hit and miss. We weren't consistent on a schedule. I had to lug all of this crap over to Mandy's house, her apartment in Celebration, and drive half an hour, set it all up and then do a show and then break it all down and then drive back home and set it all back up and then do the editing and do all this work. So now we have this nice studio. We don't have to do that anymore. So we've got a home base. It's probably like 75%
complete.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
We're really close to having that set up. And then once that's done, I'd really like to be able to get out of the studio and go and
lug it around again?
No. I'm actually looking at a fairly inexpensive mobile recorder.
Okay.
That would allow us to do that. And, this folks who listen on Spreaker, we have the Spreaker app is on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So
All
we have to do is patch a microphone in that way, and we could go live stream right off the phone to Spreaker. So we're real close to being able to do that as well. And we'll talk about one of those events coming up at the end of the show. So again, if you would like to support our show financially, head over to patreon.com and patreon.com/Saratalk. And you can do that on a per episode basis. Again, you pick how much you want to donate per episode, and then you can also set a monthly cap. So you could say, I want to donate $5 per episode, but a maximum of $10 a month. So even if we put out 20 episodes, which we won't do, we do one a week, you would only get charged for the maximum amount that you set. So now, we really appreciate your
patronage. And how does the patron-only episode work? Do the patrons pay for that episode?
They do not.
Okay.
They do not. They have paid for it in advance by being a patron for all of this time. So there are existing patron-only episodes that are up, and you can listen to those. Now, if you sign up as a patron, you can go back and listen to the old stuff.
Our patron has something to say. Brace yourself.
If you're not a patron, you need to be, because the patron-only episodes are amazing. Just want to put that out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
And we're working on another one. We want to do this Texas law, the Senate Bill 6 garbage.
yeah, we want to do a garbage episode.
Well, those are the best.
They really
are. If we come in here and talk about sunshine and rainbows, then that's not nearly as fun.
They are. Yeah. They're more fun.
This is when
you get to come in here and really scream it out.
This is a tactic I learned from Republican Talk Radio. You come in and you go, The Democrats are taking your guns and the world's going to end and everybody get all worked up. And that's what gets listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The host that I worked for when I was a producer of the morning show, Brian Byers, if you'd like to tune in, WSOY, 1340 AM, Decatur, Illinois. You can go listen to that. They live stream now too. It's much more fancy than when I was there. But that was his thing. Like, there were two types of people who listened to that show. People who loved what he was saying and people who absolutely hated him. Yep.
And so they would listen.
Yeah, and they would listen just because he pissed them off. And they would call in and yell at him.
Yell at him.
Yeah.
Send him hate mail.
Yeah, exactly.
Send him envelopes with baby powder in it.
Don't do that. That's terrible.
No, don't do that.
Don't even suggest that.
No, I wasn't suggesting
God, fucking
it.
Trump is wiretapping us now.
Oh, no. I wasn't telling people to do that. I was just saying that's something we people used to do. I don't know that people still do that.
Right. Do you remember the big anthrax scare?
I do.
That was like a long time ago.
It was
ago.
Right after 9/11. It was horrible.
Yeah. There's a new movie coming out called Circle.
Okay.
And it's about like everybody watching us.
I hate that feeling like that.
Yeah.
I can't.
They can go through your cameras. There's like everything they can see. The whole world can, the government can watch you.
Yeah.
And just.
Yeah.
Nothing, get ready for
nothing
it.
Nothing would surprise me.
No.
All right. So next up. So, you know, President Trump.
What?
Who?
President,
you said
President
it without
Trump.
Gagging.
I did.
I'm surprised.
I know. I'm learning to control the
gag
reflex.
So am I.
So, Michael.
Michael was practicing that during the break. Patreon goal. We'll have a live feed so you can see what's going on during
the
commercial break.
If you donate, you can
that would be fun.
Prostitution.
A commercial break.
Oh, my God.
The commercial break wiretap.
And if you Patreon enough, you can come in and Michael will...
We'll set a microwave up in the studio with a video camera in it.
So, you know, President Trump had a Muslim ban that he said wasn't a Muslim ban, and then that got kind of overturned, and then he rewrote the Muslim ban, and it's still a Muslim ban. And a judge in Hawaii blocked that travel ban from being enforced just hours before it was supposed to go into effect. This is from BuzzFeed. Trump fired back at the decision during a rally in Nashville, calling it, quote, unprecedented judicial overreach. Trump supporters have also decided to fight back against the ruling by calling for a boycott of Hawaii. After all, what does Hawaii know about attacks on American soil?
What?
The whole state?
Oh, my God. Wow.
And they put in the BuzzFeed article, they put a there's a map of the county level results, which really does show, when we've talked about this before, it shows that, you know, all of the major population centers are blue and the rest of the country is red.
Right.
So anyway, the tweet they included from Philip Schuyler is at five rights, hashtag boycott Hawaii. Hawaii, what do you know? You were 5,000 miles from 9/11. You run your little world and let the grown-ups run the mainland.
What?
Like, what do you know about getting bombed? What?
How do you even... Oh, my God.
This just speaks to the intelligence level, the education of,
like,
of Americans.
Read your history books, you motherfucking idiots. Seriously, go back to school and learn something.
Right.
Sorry.
Russell.
Do they not remember Pearl Harbor? Hello?
Yeah, obviously not. I mean, again, these are... You know, but remember, you live in a world now where truth doesn't matter. Facts don't matter, right? It just... If I say it, then that's true. And then if I come back and say, no, I never said that, then that's true.
Well, and you said, don't they remember Pearl Harbor? And, you know, that's... Obviously, that's the... But I think it's selective memory, too.
Sure.
Because if you look at the things that Donald Trump was saying,
well,
to get elected,
yes,
and what he's saying now, it's the polar opposite. Like, he's doing the opposite of everything.
There's like sex happening at the end of the table right now.
He's making these faces.
He can't concentrate.
And they're not the same faces he makes when I give him a blowjob.
Oh.
So here's the thing about Hawaii, okay? And yes, like... You know, think about the country music response to 9/11, like that.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like that.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and picture that feeling, that moment in time. What did we do immediately after? Let's go blow those fuckers up. Sure. Get the towel heads. Yep. Right? We did all kinds of stupid shit. If you follow George Takei and Brad, he did, wasn't this a play, a stage play that he did? About, or musical.
It was a,
God, what's the name
Broadway
of it? But anyway, they, you know, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the United States didn't do much better than we did after 9/11. They rounded up anyone who looked Japanese, who were citizens of the United States, and put them in internment camps. Holy shit. And, you know, this is why we teach history, so that you learn the lessons of the past, so we don't make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
We're crazy.
Right? So, they don't look like us. They don't sound like us. Then
they're not us.
They're not us. So shut the borders down. Don't let them in.
Close the door.
Allegiance.
Allegiance. Hide your children.
Yes, allegiance. That's right.
Yeah, and he saved a seat for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump never came.
Right.
Every time they went on stage, he had a seat right there with his
little name on it.
Yeah, little name.
Seat warmer.
All right, we got two things left. This is a Fox News poll.
Oh,
put
yay.
That filter on.
Dippy, dippy, okay? Dippy, boop, boop, deep, boop,
deep. Put the filter on.
Fox News.
News.
F-A-U-X?
No, not faux news. Fox News.
Oh, okay.
Brace yourselves. Bernie Sanders remains the most popular politician in the United States. Big fucking surprise.
But Fox is admitting
but
that?
Fox. This is a Fox News poll.
You know it's getting
now,
bad.
Now, I'll take a sidestep here to mention that, you know, the president himself. So President Trump has been much more, I think, accessible, maybe the not the right word, but with the public. Somehow I responded to something or other, and now I get emails from the White House like three times a day. And it's all, tell us what you think about this, and we need money for that, and fill out this poll. And all of the polls that the White House has released, all the questions have been written in such a way that it's very clearly like right-leaning. Like, do you support the Trump calling out the biased liberal media for their agenda? Like, it's that kind of stuff. Okay. So then he gets pissed off because a bunch of us libtards get on and answer the poll and fill things out. And we say, you know, all of the things that need to be said properly, right? Like, this is stupid and your questions are slanted. And and no, we don't think he's doing a good job. And then he gets pissed off, throws a little hissy fit, and launches another poll, which is almost identical to the first poll, and is like, oh, the liberals took over our poll. Here, fill this one out.
Oh,
but, you know, it's the same stuff. So same thing happens in Fox News, right? Fox News puts out a poll. We share it all over the place, and, you know, the liberals fill it out too. The Fox News poll indicated released Wednesday. I think this was, I don't have a date, last week, indicated some Americans have unfavorable opinions about the Trump administration, no shit, as well as some congressional Democrats and Republicans. Trump's overall job rating has dropped 5 points compared to a February poll from the network. As of March 15th, 43% of voters approve of Trump's performance, while 51% disapprove. Of the 43% who approved, 30% said strongly approve, and 13% said somewhat approve. Of the 51% who disapproved, 7% said somewhat, and 45% said strongly. In the February survey, 48% of people surveyed by Fox News said they approved of Trump's job performance, and 47% disapproved. So it's drop. It's you know, the unfavorable opinion is gaining. While both Democrats and Republicans have received low approval ratings from respondents, Democrats fared slightly better than Republicans, with 32% of respondents approving of their actions in Congress and 60% disapproving. Republicans earned 29% approval rating of their actions in Congress and a disapproval rating of 63%. Here's the breakdown of some of the folks in Congress. Vice President Mike Pence received ratings of 47% favorable and 43% unfavorable, which is whatever. House Speaker Paul Ryan, 37% favorable, 47% unfavorable. Senator Bernie Sanders received a 61% favorable to 32% unfavorable. And then it talks about Planned Parenthood, 57% favorable to 32%. Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, was rated 50% favorable and 47% unfavorable. So kind of split down the middle. So what I wanted to pick this one out was I told you so. What was the article I shared the other day that started that whole conversation? Oh, it was the Meals on Wheels thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we got bamboozled. You know, I saw someone else post a Hillary story about how she's going to start getting involved again or be active or something. And I'm kind of torn because I think on one hand, too little, too late. You know, mm-hmm. Where have you been? Where have you been?
She had to go cry it out.
Well, she had to. And so the argument against that is she had to go disappear for a little bit. Because had she come out of the election swinging, Trump would have said, you're a sore loser. Grow up.
Oh, yeah.
Big baby.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing this because you lost. Suck it up. So she had to like disappear from the public light for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Let Trump be a shitbag and then come back out and be like, see?
Told you so.
Yeah. But still, even at that, it should have been Bernie, not Hillary.
Right.
Right? So if you go back into the primaries, like that's, mm-hmm. There are many of us who, while we voted for Hillary in the general, we're still pretty sore about the fucking over that mm-hmm. Bernie got by the DNC.
Yep.
The final story that I have for today is a very sad story. It's a story of loss. While Trump is cutting Meals on Wheels and all of these other things, the EPA and all of these programs that we need, there's a statement from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. March 16th, 2017, Patricia Harrison, president and CEO of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, made the following statement regarding the president's proposed elimination of federal funding for public media. And public media would be PBS and NPR, specifically. There is no viable substitute for federal funding that ensures Americans have universal access to public media's educational and informational programming and services. The elimination of federal funding to CPB would initially devastate and ultimately destroy public media's role in early childhood education, public safety, connecting citizens to our history, promoting civil discussions for Americans in both rural and urban communities. And I'll step out of the read here to say, some of the people who are arguing back at this are saying, well, you know, do your fund drive and get your money. Like, they'll figure out a way to get the money. That's their response. They'll figure out a way to get the money. The point is that it should be important for you as a taxpayer to want to personally invest in this stuff. And I'm here to tell you, not people are not going to just pick up the phone and call and get their Big Bird tote bag. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason why they have to do these fund drives, and it's because the federal funding only goes so far,
right.
And then they have to make up the difference. And a lot of times they you know, they really struggle to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Couple that with the fact that, you know, the people who benefit from it the most are the people who are in those poorer, maybe rural areas, urban, inner cities, who are struggling to make ends meet and couldn't afford to give their, you know, $20 to get their tote bag and another 6 months of PBS Kids, right? Those are the people who need it most. Back to the statement. Public media is one of America's best investments at approximately $1.35 per citizen from your taxes per year. It pays huge dividends to every American, from expanding opportunity, beginning with proven children's educational content, to providing essential news and information, as well as ensuring public safety and homeland security through emergency alerts. This vital investment strengthens our communities. It is especially critical for those living in small towns and in rural and underserved areas. And I can speak to that. I grew up in a log cabin in the middle of fucking nowhere. And we had four channels. ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS. And all of the age-appropriate educational programming certainly wasn't on the networks, really. You know, we had Saturday morning cartoons, but PBS was your Mr. Rogers and your Sesame Street and all of that educational stuff. You know, none of us would know how a bill goes through the fucking process if not for that stupid cartoon back in the day, right? You look confused. I'll play it for you after the show. Viewers and listeners appreciate that public media is non-commercial and available free to all Americans. We will work with the new administration, good luck, and Congress in raising awareness that elimination of federal funding to CPB begins the collapse of the public media system itself and the end of this essential national service. So, there's a couple schools of thought behind this thing, right? Is this another flashbang? Go look at something shiny while we do, you know, all this atrocious stuff to the healthcare program and veterans assistance and while, you know, while that's going on. And then in the end, we're not going to do this PBS cut thing. We're not going to do that after all. You know, is it just a distraction? Right. And I don't know.
I hope we have to assume, I'm afraid.
Right. But we have to assume the worst, right? We have to assume that this thing is likely to be pressing through. So I'm going to leave the show today with a video. It's really sad. Like, I almost cried watching it yesterday. So they brought in Elmo into the conference room or whatever, and they had to break the bad news to him. So we're going to watch that, and then I'll lead out the show. And that'll be it for this week.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, thanks for coming in, Elmo. We have something very important to discuss.
Elmo happy to help. Elmo loves to help.
Elmo, it does me no great joy to inform you that due to recent cuts in government funding to PBS, you are no longer employed by Sesame Street Workshop.
Huh? What?
Elmo, you're being laid off.
Just like that? Elmo's been working at Sesame Street for 32 years!
Elmo, the Trump administration is gutting all arts and education funding from the new congressional budget.
But Elmo's rent just went up!
Elmo, you're gonna land on your feet, don't worry.
But Elmo hasn't been unemployed since the 80s! What's going to happen to Elmo's insurance? Elmo has pre-existing condition!
Well, you should apply for government health care. Well, you can. That's being gutted, too.
Where is Elmo supposed to go? Elmo's only real talent is being Elmo.
Well, you could take pictures with tourists in Times Square for tips.
Huh?
I know it's not glamorous, Elmo, but...
Is there anyone Elmo can contact?
What, you mean Donald Trump?
Donald Grump?
Sure, Elmo, Donald Trump.
Are there other monsters fired too? Cookie Monster? Tully Monster?
Yes, we let Tally and Cookie go this morning.
But what about the kids?
They have YouTube, Elmo.
YouTube. Will you guys rate Elmo a good reference?
I can give you a letter of recommendation.
All right, well that's... An F? Okay, Elmo will go bye-bye now.
One more thing. Leave the puppet.
Leave the puppet? What are you...
And they pull the Elmo puppet off the hand, and the hand walks away. Really sad. PBS is an essential source of preparing children for future. Support PBS today. Now, this is from... it's a parody video from What's Trending. So go check out their... YouTube channel, What's Trending.
And that'll make you cry.
That kind of hurt a little bit.
Sorry, I'm leaving on such a bad note.
Didn't that hurt? Yeah. It hurt. That was like, oh.
Thank you guys for coming in today. I appreciate it very much. And we are going to wrap up this episode. Again, April 22nd, Earth Day, is the March for Science. Come on out. Go to marchforscience.com to find an event near you. We're trying to figure out where we want to go. And join us next week here on Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/SarahTalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.